For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. What is October 21st? Okay. Parshas Lech Lecha. So we have the war between the four kings and the five kings. It's in Perek Yud Daled. So pages 60, 62 and on. And the four kings come, they defeat the five kings. And then Avram Avinu goes to fight them, and he defeats them. Now, we're familiar with the famous Midrashim. First of all, Avraham, it says he took 318 men. Chazal tell us that that was?
Eliezer.
It was Eliezer. It was one person, it was Eliezer. The gematria of Eliezer is 318. So it was Eliezer. There is a, well, this will confuse everybody if you don't know it already, but there's a Midrash that says Eliezer is Og, which would explain how he could be like 318 men. So if Eliezer is Og, he was the Eved of Avraham, and he was with a lot of people, right? Okay, so then you have to explain how later on he became a Rasha. And even in the story here, he starts off as a Rasha. He comes to tell Avraham about what happened in order that Avraham should be killed so he could get Sarah. So he's not the best person. But then as Eliezer, it seems that he was a tzaddik. So that's its own discussion. But you have this war. We also know the Medrash that that when Avraham fought, he was able to take sand and throw it, and it would turn into weapons, and it would kill the enemy. So that's the story over here. That Medrash is alluded to in the Haftarah. You don't have to turn to the Haftarah, but in this week's Haftarah, it's alluded to right off the top over here. But in the Psukim in Yeshaya, that's the Medrash where it comes from. Now, when he fights them, so it says in Pasuk Tesvav on page 64, Vayechalek Alehem Laila, Hu Vavadav Vayakem. So they split up against them the night, he and his servants, and they struck them down. That's a funny way to read the pasuk. So Rashi tells us that we have to be sareis hazamekar with our sheo. You have to move the words around. It means they split up, he and his servants split up against them at night. The verb vayechalek, and they split up, is referring to huva avadav. Avraham and his servants, which may only be one servant, they split up to go chase after those who had run away. But then Rashi brings a medrash. So look at Rashi, vayechalek alehem, v'pshuto sareis hamikra. So the pashut is you have to kind of cut and paste. Vayechalek huva avadav alehem laila. You have to say who's vayechalek. It was huva avadav. It was the servants and he who split up and ran after them. And when was it? It was at night. Keder charodfim shem mispalgim achar hanir dafim kishabarchem zelakam zelakan. Like those who are the pursuers, they split up to run after those who are being pursued. This one here, this one here. Laila, klomar, achar shecha shecha, even though it got dark, lo nimna milarodfim, he didn't hold back from chasing after them, because it was very difficult to have a war at night. It's hard to fight when there's absolutely no light at all except for fire. It's very, very difficult. There's no artificial light at all. There's no infrared vision. I mean, you can't, there's no way to see anything. So, but yet he chased after them. So that's the Pashup Shat. U'medrash agada shenechla kalayla. It literally means vayechalek alehem layla, the night was split on them. It was the night itself that split. In the first half of the night, There was an ace that happened for Avraham. V'chatzio hasheni, the second half, nishmar ubalo lachatzos laila shel Mitzrayim. That was saved. Avraham didn't use the second half of the night. The second half of the night was saved for the chatzos laila of Mitzrayim, for when Klal Yisrael was going to leave Mitzrayim. So, obviously, according to the Medrash, we have a very significant connection between this battle and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, if you pay attention in Nirtza, in the Haggadah, I know you're all very wide awake in Nirtza, and you're paying attention to all the words and all of the piyutim over there, but in the piyutim of Amartem Zevach Pesach and Vahi Vachatzi Alayla, where we mention all the things that happened on Leil Pesach, this is one of the things that's mentioned. The battle took place on Leil Pesach. And the nes happened that Avraham and either 318 men or just one other man together were able to defeat this alliance, this evil alliance of these four kings. And the night became a miraculous night. The first half was used now. The second half was used for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, the Gemara tells us, how big was this army? He fought this army. How big was the army? So, four kings, you imagine they each have an army, they each have soldiers. That's a lot of people. Okay, fine. So, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that in the battle of Sancheirev, when Sancheirev brought his army against Yerushalayim, who was the king at the time that Sancheirev came against Yerushalayim? You know?
Chizkiyahu
was the king. And Chizkiyahu was a big tzaddik. All of Klal Yisrael had learned Torah. The Gemara says they checked everywhere, and there was no place that didn't know Torah. It's a famous Gemara. Let me see if I can pick it up quickly and read it to you. Gemara says, that it was the oil that was burning for Chizkiyahu that defeated Sancheirev. The oil that was burning at night, that he was learning Torah, that's what defeated Sancheirev. The Gemara says that they checked all of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Chizkiyahu. It's such a good lush, and I would rather read it too if I can find it quickly. Yeah. It says that Chizkiyahu, he took Noetz Cherev al Pesach Beis HaMedrash. He stuck a sword into the door of the Beis HaMedrash. Can you imagine coming to the Kollel and there's a sword sticking? Well, we have glass. Okay, but there's a sword sticking in the wooden door. Va'amar, and he said, Kol mi she'eino osek b'Torah, anybody who doesn't study Torah, yidaka b'cherev. Could run through with the sword. Then it says, Badku mi Don v'ad Beersheva. They checked from Don in the north all the way to Beersheva in the south. V'loi matzu am ha'aretz. They didn't find any am ha'aretz. There was no am ha'aretz. They all knew. Mi gevas v'ad antifras. They checked from gevas until antifras. V'loi matzu tinoik v'tinoikes. Ish v'isha. They didn't find a child, a man, a woman. Shelo hayu bekin b'hochos tumah v'tara. That were not experts in the halachos of Tum and Tara. Forget Halachos Shabbos and Halachos Kashrus. We're talking about Tum and Tara. They knew it inside and outside. And the pasuk says about that door that they were unbelievable. Okay, fine. So because of that defeated Sancheirev. So Sancheirev was also a massive army. Now the pasuk itself says that when Sancheirev came against Chizkiyahu, he came on Erev Pesach, and he was killed on the night of Pesach, same as Avraham and the four kings. It happened on the night of Pesach. If you look in Nirtza, in the Piyutim of Vamartim Zevach Pesach and Vahiva Chatzi Alayla, you will see that this battle of Sancheirev is also mentioned, because it also happened on the night of Pesach. It's very enjoyable to read those Piyutim. If you're too tired on the night of Seder, you should do it another time close to Pesach. It just gives you a nice, broad picture of the different things that happened on Leil Pesach. It's really interesting. So this happened as well. So The Pasuk says that that night, they were sleeping, the army of Sancheriv, and the Malach came, it's Malach Gavriel came, and it says that Hashem sent them against them, and he killed 185,000 soldiers of Sancheriv. That's what he killed. But the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Ba'alem Sancheriv HaRasha, Sancheriv came against Klal Yisrael, against Yerushalayim, Barboim V'chamisha Elef Ish B'nei Malachim, with 45,000 various princes, because Sancheriv conquered the whole world. So these were royal people from all the various places he'd conquered, 45,000. Yoishvim B'kroinois Shalzov, sitting in golden chariots, Vimayim, they had all kinds of an entourage with them. That's 45,000 royal personages. Uvishmainim Aleph Gibarim Levushe Siryain Klipa. And 80,000 particularly powerful soldiers wearing armor. Uvishishim Aleph Achuze Cherev Rotsim Lefanov and 60,000 holding the sword running in front of him. So the 185,000 breaks down to 45,000 royal people, 80,000 kiboyrim, and 60,000 rotsim. But that's just them. V'hashar prashim, and the rest were this cavalry, were the foot soldiers. 185,000 doesn't mean that was the whole army. It was 185,000 were the leaders of the army. The army itself clearly had over 1 million soldiers. It was a massive army that came against Chizkiyahu that were all killed the night of Pesach. And the Gemara later on says, a machlokes, how many were left of all those 1 million or more people? 10? 5? There's different opinions. How many were left over? That's how many people were killed that night, the night of Pesach. Says the Gemara, V'chein bo'u al Avraham. That's the amount that came against Avraham. So when you're reading about the four kings over here, we're talking about 1 million-man army, at least. That's what we're not talking about, you know, four kings, they each had, like, you know, an army of about 1,000 people. We're talking about 1 million soldiers coming against Avram and 318 men, or Avram and just his one Eben Eliezer. And they beat him. Says the Gemara, V'chein asidin lavo im Gog u'Magog. And that's what's going to happen in the future for Gog u'Magog. Now, Gog u'Magog is a very confusing topic. Where is Gog u'Magog? Where's the Nevuah of Gog u'Magog?
Daniel.
It's in Yechezkel. In Sefer Yechezkel is where Gog u'Magog is. And when do we read it? When do we read it as the Haftarah? Hint is we read it recently. Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos is when we read it. We just read it. And there, so it talks about this massive army that's going to come against Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fight with them. And he's going to destroy them. Now, most people are confused, not realizing that Gog is a person and Magog is a place. It's Gog me'eretz ha-Magog. Magog is a nation, like Mitzrayim, like Midian, like Moab. So it's a nation and a place. Magog is a place. It's also a nation. Which nation is Magog? So look back in Noach. When the Torah counts the Shivim Umos. And it's on page 44. It's in Perek Yud. Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph says, Ve'ela told us, B'nei Noach Shem Chom Vayofes, Vayualdu Lahem Bani Macharam Abel. B'nei Yefes. Start with Yefes. Goymer U'Magog. Magog is the second son of Yefes. That's who it is. Gog is going to be the king who's going to lead the battle coming from Magog. Gog u'Magog. That's what it means. They're going to come, he's going to lead a massive army of over a million soldiers against Eretz Yisrael. That's what's going to happen in the future. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos Chizkiyahu Mashiach. He wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach. V'Sancheirev Gog u'Magog. He was going to make Sancheirev that battle. Now, there was no Nevuah yet of Gog u'Magog at that time. Sancheirev, the Maisa of Chizkiyahu precedes Yechezkel. Chizkiyahu is in the latter part of the first Beis HaMikdash. Yechezkel lives through the Churban Bayis Rishon. So that Nevuah hasn't happened yet. But what the Gemara means is that there needs to be a massive battle before Mashiach comes, or when Mashiach comes, or sometime around Mashiach, I don't know, before. Something to do with Mashiach and Lasid Lavoi, there's going to be a massive battle. Hashem was going to make Chizkiyahu and Sancheirev that battle. But we were in Zaycha because it's like Gemara says, because Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked into that. That can be a whole shmooze in itself. Chizkiyahu not saying Shira. But the battle that needs to happen almost happened already, but it didn't. It still has to happen. That battle mimics the battle of Avraham Avinu. This is my of a similar button. By Avraham having this battle, he is doing the Maisa of a similar button, which is going to happen with us for the Geula Shlema. Now, in Avraham's time, there was no nation yet. There wasn't even Yitzchak. It was just Avram and Sarah. In fact, it was Avram and Sarai. They weren't even yet, their names weren't even changed yet. Klaiso wasn't even, right? So the nace that happened for Avraham was split up. Lila. Lila is always a bad time. We've talked about this for Pesach in the past. Lila is always considered to be a bad time. It's always considered to be the time of Mazikim, danger. Golos is Nimshal to Laila. Geula is Nimshal to Yom. Pesach night is a Laila Shehu Yom. A Yom Shehu Laila. It's a nighttime which we treat as a daytime. That's what Pesach night is. We've spoken about this before several times. So it's a nighttime which is treated as a daytime. Because it's Geula. So it turns the night into day. That's why on the night of Pesach you don't lock your door. The reason why is because we consider it like a daytime. It's as if it's still daytime. It's not nighttime. It looks dark outside. It's daytime. It has a halacha of day. That's also why we say Hallel at the Seder. We never say Hallel at night. We say it because it's a daytime. And that's why you have all the mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs are daytime mitzvahs. It's rare that there is a nighttime mitzvah. Krishma shel Arvis. I mean, it's rare to have a nighttime mitzvah. But the night of Pesach, you have matzah, you have Sibur Tzitzrayim, Maror, you have all kinds of mitzvahs, Balayla, Karban Pesach. That's because of the fact that it's really a day. It's halachically, hashkafically, the night of Pesach is a day. That's established here. But Avraham has it split because you don't have yet a nation to have a geula for. So the geula begins here with Avraham before there even is an am. The Geula begins, Avraham establishes the Geula, and then the other half is after his children turn into a nation, and we're coming out of Mitzrayim, that's where the other half happens. That together, Avraham and the Yetzias Mitzrayim together, that night, when you put the two together, is the Maisa of Asim Labanim for the Geula Hasida. So there has to be a time in the future when that's going to happen again. And it's going to happen with the same size army that's going to be decimated, that's going to be the Geula Shlema, the Geula Ha'asida. That's the Maisa Avos on the bottom of this battle. Now, does that mean it's going to happen Pesach night? That's a good bet, but we don't know. It'll be a good bet because Sancheirev did, and Sancheirev almost happened. That was it. It almost was the one. It didn't work out for whatever reason. So it still has to happen, and it's going to happen again. Whether it's going to happen before Mashiach comes, after Mashiach comes, that we don't know. We don't know how these things, you know, the order of things, and the Rambam says it's not worth dwelling on. It's a waste of time, because we're not going to figure it out anyway. We'll know Mitzvah Hashem, Be'emer V'Amenu. But when we find out, we find out. But to be aware that this battle that Avram is fighting is the Ma'is Avos L'Mabanim of that Geula Hasida with the battle of Gog U'Magog. Now, I want to leave some time to do some halacha, but the other part to this, and there's a lot of other parts to this, but one other way to move this discussion is to get into who Yefes is. Because Yefes is the brother that helps Shem cover his father. He helps Shem cover his father. And the Pasuk says that, Rashi says over there, I'll just show you this and we're going to stop with this. But Rashi says over there in Noach, in that Maisa of Noach being drinking wine and being uncovered, and Cham does the wrong thing. So then it says, it's on page 44, that it says in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayikach Shem Vayefes Es Asimlo, Vayasimlo Hashem Shneem, Vayalchu Acharonis, Vayachasu Es Avasavim, Ufnehem Acharonis, Vayavasavim Laro. So they're careful not to look at their father. But it says Vayikach Shem Vayefes. It doesn't say Vayikhu Shem Vayefes. It says he took, not they took. So Chazal say from here, Shem was the Iker. It's Vayikach Shem. Yefes joined the party. Like he said, oh, you're doing it, I'll come along. So Yefes gets schar, but not as much as Shem. Shem gets the Iker schar, because it was his idea, and Yefes came along. So therefore, Shem is Zoicha, that his children is us, and we have the talus, Shel Tzitzis, because he covered his father. So we're Zoicha to that. Zokt Rashi. Vayikach Shem Vayefes, Enksi Vayikhu, Ala Vayikach. Limit al Shem, Shenis Amitz B'mitzvah Yosem Miyefes. He was more strong in the mitzvah. Lakach Zachuban of the Talas Shal Tzitzis. That's why we're Zachet to the Talas. Vayefes Zacha Lekvur Labanov. Yefes was Zachet for what? That his children would be buried. When are Yefes' children going to be buried? What does that mean? Says Rashi, Shenemar Etin Legog Makom Sham Kever. When their whole army is killed out, they'll be buried. And if you look in Yechezkel, if you look in the Haftarah for Shabbos, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you'll see that in Yechezkel, there's a whole bunch of Sukkim devoted to after the battle is over, that we are going to bury the dead. That they're not going to be laying on the ground to be eaten by the birds. And that's going to be the schar to Yefes for over here. So that battle between Gog and Klal Yisrael is the battle between Shem and Yefes. Shem, who was nis'ametz b'mitzvah, he made sure to do it right. Yefes, who did a good thing, but he wasn't willing to put himself into the mitzvah, he gets a little bit of schar, but not to the level of Shem. And that battle, this is where the next direction to take this discussion, which we don't have time to go into, that battle is where Yefes, it's not the battle of Esav against Yaakov. It's not Yishmael against Klal Yisrael. That's something else. That's also going on. But that particular battle, Gog U'Magog, is not that. It's Yefes leading the Goyim. He's going to lead all kinds of nations against Klal Yisrael. And that the seeds of that are in this story over here, of Noach. So that's just something to whet your appetite a little bit for more in this discussion. But okay. We don't have time to really develop it further. I'll take a question or two on this if you want, but if we're going to do any halacha, we're going to have to stop. So,
okay. We don't know who Gog is.
Well, Gog is the future.
I mean, right.
Magog is this nation, like Mitzrayim. We don't know
who. We don't know which.
No, especially since Sancheirev is the one who mixed everybody up. So we don't know. He was Mevalbal Kol Ha'umos. So we don't know who's who. Except for us, we don't know who's who.
Yeah.
Also, is that like a is that like the battle nowadays, like Yefes versus Shem? Like,
we don't know. That's the thing. We can't.
I'm saying like in concept, like concept. Just following after versus like Yefes was just following after versus versus Shem was like initiating.
Okay, not everybody has to initiate. You know, not everybody has to be the one to. But the thing is, it's not initiating versus. Following along, it's nis'amitz b'mitzvah. It's being in the mitzvah, and that's really the thing. It's not just doing it superficially. You don't have to be the leader; you can follow, but still put yourself into it, right? Shem put himself into it. Yefes was, I'll do it. It's a nice thing, you know. He didn't get into it. That's he wasn't nis'amitz from lashon amitz kayach, strength. The Dvar Halacha I'll leave you with is that it's Nogea, this Shabbos is it's tricky to invite someone who does not keep Shabbos for Shabbos. It's a tricky thing to do. If they come for the whole Shabbos, so it's no problem. But to invite them for a meal is tricky because they're going to drive. And therefore, you are inviting them to drive. You're essentially asking them to drive to your house. So if they don't live near you, if they live near you, it's not a problem. But if they live far away, it's a problem. And that's called Mesayei L'Dvar Avera. We're not allowed to encourage Chil Shabbos or any other Avera. So here, when you have someone who lives far away, who's not from, and we want to be Makar of them, and one of the most effective ways of being mekarev somebody is through Shabbos. Shabbos is a gevaldic way of being mekarev somebody. Nevertheless, you can't do a mitzvah with an avera. And that they're going to drive, they don't know any better. So, but that we would encourage them to drive, that's an avera. We're not allowed to do that. That's called mesayei l'dvar avera. We're not allowed to do that. So we can't justify the importance of having them over by inviting them when we know it's going to make them drive. Now, there are different opinions about how to handle this. There is one shita that holds that, well, they're going to drive anyway, so what's the difference? But the mainstream, the vast majority of Paiskim hold it is usur to invite them. If you want some names, the Shiva Zaharach or Weinberg held you can't do that. Currently, you know, most Paiskim, vast majority will tell you cannot invite a non-Jew, a non-from Jew who you know is going to drive because of your invitation. Now, one way around it is, if they come to Shul, you can invite them when they're in Shul. They drove already, you didn't tell them to drive, they're here. So you can invite them. Problem is, then you're inviting them last minute. You want to invite them in advance, it's hard to do it. So what the Paiskim say is that you can invite them to come for the whole Shabbos. If they choose not to, that's their choice. You're not encouraging them to do that. You're inviting them to the whole Shabbos. They come for part of it, it's fine. So that's all fine and good, but it's a very tricky way to handle that, because how does the conversation go? So I call up my, the person I know, it's not from, they live out in wherever. I say, hey, why don't you come for Shabbos? So they say, sure. Well, that's great. What do you mean? Like, for the meal? Say, no, come for the whole Shabbos. Oh, I don't know about that, Rabbi. That's, you know, where are we going to stay? Oh, we have a shopping trip the next day. So now what? So they're going to politely decline. But I want them to come anyway. So am I supposed to say, well, why don't you just come for the Seuda? Well, then I'm inviting them to drive. So I can't say that. So if they, on their own, We had some people like this in Columbus where they understood that, you know, they figured it out. There's always a Friday night meal. There's always a Shabbos day meal. And they're always invited. They can come whenever they want. So they would just show up. They'd drive up to the door and come for the meal. But that was already, they got into the system and they realized that this is what's going on all the time. And hey, it's free food, good company. You know, so they enjoyed it and they came. And it's Shabbos. They got, so great. So that didn't require any invitations. But you know, it's not going to work with people who've never come before and they don't know the score and they're looking, you know, it just doesn't fly. So the simplest way of handling the issue is to invite them for a Friday night, and they don't necessarily have to drive, but because they could get here before Shabbos. It's best done in the summertime when you're making an early Shabbos, because then they weren't Makabel Shabbos. They could drive up to Shkia. So if you tell them that you're starting the Suda at 7 o'clock and Shkia is not till 8 o'clock, so what's the problem? It's great. They'll drive, they'll show up at 7 o'clock. There's no Isser B'chol. Even in the wintertime, when you're making Shabbos at the regular time, so even there, you know, if you tell them, they say, what time should we be there? You say, Shabbos starts at 6. If they show up at 6 and then they have to wait around for a little bit, so they'll figure out the next time when you say 6, you mean 6:30 or 6:45, right? Or they may realize that Shabbos starts at 6 means the suit is loaded. It depends how much they know. So you can do that. What about the fact they're going to drive home? So there, you have to sincerely offer them a place to stay for Shabbos, for the whole Shabbos. Now, you don't have to do it in an uncomfortable way. It's very uncomfortable. You know, they're coming, and they're planning on having a meal going home. So you're going to say, why don't you stay overnight? What, are you crazy? Why don't you stay overnight? Where? I didn't bring my pajamas. Like, what are you talking about? Right? So it doesn't have to be so uncomfortable like that. You can finesse it. You can say to them, you know, they say on the they say, boy, that was a delicious meal. You can say, you know, we're doing it again tomorrow. You could stay. You really mean it. They could stay. You really mean it. And if they would say yes, you either have a place in your own home or you have a neighbor you put them in. But you have an idea of what you would do if they would stay, right? Most likely they're going to say no. But you're not encouraging them to drive home. You're not saying, okay, the meal's over, and you walk them out. Then you're essentially saying, go home. Go drive home, right? What you're saying is, I'd love for you to stay. Now, they want to leave. Okay, so then you walk them out because they want to leave. Just because you don't want them to walk out by themselves. But you're not ushering them out of your house. Right? So that is the simplest way to do it. Inviting for Shabbos lunch is very, very difficult to do without being over an Isser. It's really hard to do it. It's not simple. It's very difficult to do. Because you got to do it in a way where you are not encouraging them to drive on Shabbos. And that it's very difficult. It's, you have to really finesse it. You have to come up with a real good way of handling that, and so that the conversation never emerges that you actually invited them. They, on their own, figured out, you know, I'll come for lunch. You know, that kind of thing. But it's really very, very difficult to do. And so you should be aware that halacha is a lot of people take liberties in this area, but it's not so pashut. It really isn't pashut at all. A lot of people just figure, oh, it's mutter, it's kiruv. But it's not. I mean, it is kiruv, but it's not mutter. So just be aware of that halacha.
What about telling people about, like, the kiddush luncheon?
So that's tricky. That's tricky because you can't invite them. You can't invite them. Now, you can mention to them there is such a thing going on. You're not inviting them. You can mention it to them. You know, that, you know, there is a, you can forward them the email. You know, you can tell them that it's happening. But to invite someone to come for it, that's not mutter. Right?
Wouldn't giving them the card for it be inviting them?
So that's a good question. But it's a little bit less of an issue when it's not your meal. This is the shul's doing something. You're informing them the shul's doing something. So it's hard to say you're inviting them because it's not your, you know, you're just telling them about an event that's happening. By the way, wanted you to know, right? It's not a problem to figure out a way to get them to come without inviting them. The problem is the invitation. You can't be the one to tell them to come. Can't be your telling them essentially get in the car and drive here. So if it can be done without an overt invitation, so that would be okay. So telling them about the, you know, that there is something going on, it wouldn't work with your own meal. In other words, to tell someone, you know, that is used to a it used to an etiquette properly done invitation to say, oh, you know, we have lunch on Shabbos. Yeah. And therefore, like, if you don't say, please come, they're not going to show up at your door, most people. Right? It's very tricky. But here, you just tell them, oh, you know, the synagogue's making this big shebang on Shabbos day. Right? They may show up. Okay? Okay, I'm sorry, we're over time.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.